Those Damn Ross Kids is a podcast for adults, and the opinions we express do not reflect the opinions of our employers or even ourselves. If you would like to support the show, go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar and check out our Patreon campaign.
Hey, Cole, you ever want a Shirley Temple? You're like, man, when's the next time I'm going to go to the Embassy Suite so I can get a Shirley Temple?
Did they land the exclusive rights to the Shirley Temple cocktail?
7-Up has been selling the Shirley Temple for years. I had no idea.
Like, you can just get a bottle of Shirley Temple?
Yeah. It's called a Cherry 7-Up.
Oh, huh. Like, I've seen it, and, you know, cherry pop is a thing. So, I mean, is it made with is it made with grenadine or what?
I have no idea. I don't know. What is grenadine? Is that a berry?
I think grenadine is a cherry liqueur.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So that's got booze in it?
No.
Hmm.
I think it's more of a distillate. It is a non-alcoholic bar syrup, characterized by its tart and sweet flavor and deep red color. Grenadine is what you use to make like a Rob Roy, Roy Rogers. What? whatever a homemade cherry Coke is.
I'm sure you can order it at Red Robin.
Yum.
Those Damn Ross Kids, a conversation between brothers, featuring Chris and Cole Ross.
No, I had a busy weekend. Went places, did things. Went to national park and hiked and stuff.
Yeah, was there a national park nearby where you're at? Is that Maumee or not Maumee? What?
No, it's Cuyahoga Valley National Park.
Ah, okay, yeah.
Saw some waterfalls.
Neat.
It's a great place to meet friendly white people.
It's where they congregate.
And a few quiet Asians.
Must mostly keep it to themselves,
basically. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you see anybody who was just like straight lost? Like, dear God, it's been days. I woke up in the woods. I don't know where I came from. I don't know where I'm going. Because that'd be me.
Yeah. No, there was a cop at one of the parking lots at one of the trailheads. It was that cop. He was a ranger anyway.
Yeah. And yeah. Woods cop.
He was walking around all the parked cars in the parking lot, like looking in them.
Okay.
And so I said, oh, man, is that how park rangers celebrate Easter? And he said, what's that? And I said, by going on a probable cause search.
Okay. Oh,
look what's in my egg. I just bounced somebody for a half gram of meth. How do you like that?
If it's in plain sight, then it doesn't count.
It does count. It actually counts. That's the only way it counts.
No, that's, I suppose that's what I mean. I was thinking about it from their perspective.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, if it's in plain sight, they have every right to just bust out your windshield. Like they could go with the side window. That'd be cheaper to repair probably, but no, got to go in through the windshield.
Prehistoric forest.
All right. Yeah, I thought about prehistoric forest when I was driving up there last time.
I thought about it this weekend, actually.
Yeah?
Yeah, because we went to the Cleveland Art Museum, or Museum of Art.
This is you and your daughter.
The kid, yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was good. Anyway, they had a big billboard up by the art museum for a new, I guess the Natural History Museum has a new flying dinosaur fossil that they were, and it was, yeah, like a pterodactyl.
Neat. Yeah.
That's how you say that, right?
Yeah, pterodon. Yeah.
Pterodon.
Pterodon. Yeah, prehistoric forest. Right. Tourist attraction in Lenawee County, Michigan.
Yeah.
5 stars from one Google review. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So I do have to run something by you on the what's happening in our schools front. It's not a story. It's a story from real life. Local school here.
Local school.
A kid. She writes a little essay on the pros and cons of standing or kneeling for the national anthem.
Okay.
Which I thought was a little not as timely as it could have been.
It seems, yeah, I don't know. Yeah, that seems a little bit passe.
Doesn't seem like it's going to actually work out well either. And I'll tell you about that too.
Okay.
So, you know, the kid, she writes this essay and it basically says, you know, I personally think that standing is the what you should do. And that there's probably a better way to be able to say what you're trying to say by kneeling. And she said, but, you know, I don't begrudge people who have the view that they should kneel and that's the way their advocacy should work.
That is a remarkably tolerant viewpoint. Yeah.
And that she thinks that because it's America, she said essentially because we live in America, we both have the right to do as we wish on the matter. And so the teacher looks at the paper, I guess, and says, no, it's a pros or cons. You need to pick a side.
Oh my God. No.
Right. You got to pick a side. And I this was said to me in the car on an hour and a half ride back.
Okay.
I think I filled about an hour and 45 minutes worth of
You tell that teacher where she can stick her.
Hey.
Where she can stick her pros and cons. Yeah.
You tell that teacher that it says one nation under God, indivisible. If we all have to pick a side and we're all on separate teams, isn't that divided yet? Because I'm Lewis Black now, apparently.
Apparently. You're a very crude Lewis Black.
Jesus.
Huh.
Stabilizers are working too well.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you're stable, but you're at a pretty high pitch.
Stuck. Yeah. Now you know what you get.
You can't ratchet back.
Now you know what you get.
Yeah. So did
you get what you get and don't throw a fit?
And fairness, that's probably worth throwing a fit about.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, so it's
You gotta no, come on, man up, bitch. No, you know, like squat up, cuz.
But it's like, okay, I can understand the idea of like, oh, you didn't follow the directions. Maybe this is, you know, this isn't so much like a profession of what you actually believe. The actual function of the assignment is to pick a viewpoint and, you know, stay with it. Doesn't matter. Like, it's not a personal views essay. It is literally just like just list the pros and cons of one side. Like, there's an argument for like you should be following the directions, but like,
bitch, I'm Buddhist.
But the fact that she just like naturally found, you know, like a reasonable position. I don't know. Like,
yeah. No. We're this is not about her. This is not about school. This is about the idea. This is kind of about school.
But well, it's very much about school.
It's kind of about school. It's just that idea. The idea that's just too prevalent that you got to pick a team.
No, I trust me. I agree with you. I mean, there's very little wisdom to be found. And, the truth is somewhere in the middle. But just like, oh, pick a side and, you know, guns loaded, ammo out. Like, that's not the way to live. You know,
it's
like
out there, Coveney.
I'm sure it's out there because everybody's a goddamn pundit. You know,
we are right now, I guess.
I suppose, but you know, I think that I like to think that we are talking less about the way. The way people might be affected about this kind of stuff and, you know, projecting and saying, I don't know, is this going to play somewhere? But like, just literally, we're going to force you to write a polemic when you might not actually believe it or when you might actually have a more complicated point of view than would be accounted for in, you know, this assignment.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, did you see that episode, just a pundit and all that bullshit? Did you see the episode of Rachel Maddow with Chris Hayes. He has a woman on, a Pulitzer Prize winning journalist from the Washington Post. And she's kind of dry, you know, and he basically tries to get her to speculate on something.
Oh.
And she said, well, Chris, you have that ability, but us here at the Washington Post, we don't speculate.
Okay.
It's like, wow.
Huh.
Yeah. That's... evidently, you've been doing some reps with that Pulitzer, because that's strong.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's that is a common move to say, like, yeah, I can't speculate. That's counterfactual, et cetera. Like, I don't feel comfortable saying to turn around and like whip out your credential. That seems a little bit excessive. Seems a little bit pretentious. And us journalists of this particular institution I respect. But no, I didn't see that one. For some reason, Chris Hayes doesn't come up on my recommended like YouTube stuff. And I think that his official videos are not uploaded to MSNBC's YouTube.
No, he has a podcast that goes up.
Does he? Oh,
on a Tuesday.
Huh? Neat. Yeah. No,
it goes up every day. The day it actually is up like an hour or so after the show airs on the East Coast.
Yeah. Or like Rachel Maddow's goes up on like 11 o'clock.
Right.
Yeah. Time codes to come later.
Her podcast goes up from right where they stuffed Brian Williams.
Tomorrow's headlines today before they go to print.
Hey, before Brian, they go to print.
Hey, Brian, I know you're trying to make lemonade out of these lemons, but come on.
God? ?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like me. You know, I kept on getting like sidelined. I was basically Milton down in the storage closet or whatever. But I'm like, no, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to make them fire me. It's like sticking around doesn't matter. Like just the indignity of being stuffed in the 11 o'clock shift after having the big desk. No, that's nothing compared to the indignity of tucking your tail in and walking away.
Yeah, I don't. You know? I guess. Yeah, I mean, what am I going to say? They put Conan on cable. You know,
they shelved him away.
Yep.
Yeah.
Make Ted Turner turning him out. Isn't that guy's name that owns TBS?
Turner Broadcasting
Superstation.
Yeah. What does turning him out mean?
Like a prison bitch turning them out.
Okay.
Like yeah, I've never. That means like making them your sex bitch.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I had no idea.
He got turned out last night.
To introduce someone to something, initiate someone, especially to narcotics, sex, prostitution. So to push them into the life.
Right.
Yeah, we're being saucy today. We're being saucy. Are we? Yeah. How did this let's say kerfuffle with the paper turn out?
I just explained some things.
It's like, you know, there are going to be people who tell you that it is a virtue to only see things from one side.
Yeah. And then it went to, you know, I said, basically that you gotta stay in the middle.
Yeah. Or at least,
look at everybody. And if you're going to, and I told her, I said, you know, if you're going to pick a team, you goddamn better know. You goddamn well better know why you picked that team.
Yeah.
And be able to explain it to somebody else.
Yep.
Who doesn't want to listen.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, well, that's what I said.
But that's good that her instinct took her in that direction, you know?
Right. Nah, you gotta pick a team. You gotta pick a side.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
No, no.
You're the problem.
The teachers. Oh, I defend teachers. I'd like that. I'm looking out for you and you turn around and do this. This is how you
leave
play
those
me?
Kids alone, man. Leave those kids alone.
No education. Hey, cool.
So now it's on vibrate.
Okay.
And I'm the asshole, huh?
No. It's happened to me before too.
I'm the asshole.
Yeah. No, it's happened to me before too.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you can ask me a question that I don't know the answer to.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, what episode is this?
No idea.
It is episode number 221.
You don't even know.
Dude, no, it's 220. It's 221.
Oh, you were whispering.
Yeah.
My bad. I mean, it's episode number 221.
Yeah.
Of the comedy podcast, Those Damn Ross Kids.
And your name is?
Chris.
My name is Cole, and we're here to entertain your asses.
Every day.
Yeah, so you were up there hiking, and you're going to be going, we don't want people to be creepy, you know, triangulate, meet you out in the wilderness, but you're going to be going going on a big hiking thing later this month, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, that's exciting. You're going heading out west.
I decided to do something like Survivor Man, only in my show, the guy dies.
Almost Survivor Man.
Right.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be a series, but it turns out it just ran as a short on Adult Swim.
Yeah, it is a.
I died that quickly in the wilderness.
It's a deleted scene on Faces of Death 7.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Survivor Man's still on? Is he still kicking around?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, Les Nessman or whatever his name is.
Is Bear Grylls still kicking around?
No, I think he fell into a crevasse.
He's still down there.
And
people just walk up and throw hoagies down the hole.
He quit.
Oh. You know? Was that after all those photos came out of like where he was actually filming? Like, hey, this is what it looks like from this angle, but if you turn around, there's a freeway and a friendly.
Well, he never gave you the. He never told you that he was out there alone.
Yeah. Oh no. Oh, definitely. There's definitely always a camera crew.
False pretense in that show.
Yeah. It's a little bit like Air Bud. Like, you know, there's nothing in the rules that says. Yeah. It's kind of.
It was more like biodome, but.
I mean, surviving in a biodome seems like it'd be a very trying ordeal.
Speaking of which, I need to get on the Pirate Bay and see if they have Encino Man.
Check under your. Like check under your rug. I think every house comes with Encino Man.
What about Blast from the Past?
I think the estate of Christopher Walken made sure that didn't happen anymore.
Why? His hair was so black.
Weirdly,
Brendan Fraser was in that movie.
Yeah, Brendan Fraser and Alicia Silverstone.
I kind of thought she was good looking. Like, yeah. Then her face was, I don't know, it was weird.
But her face was weird. I think she just
her face. I don't know. She just always looked like, you know, Gail the Snail.
Yes.
When she breathes in,
yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah. That's how her face. If there was a facial look for that noise, that's her face.
Right. Was that Alicia Silverstone?
No.
Blast from the Past. No. Gail the Snail is dope. Yeah. There we go.
She's from Gail the Snail was on Mr. Show, right?
I think so. Yeah, I think she's been kicking around.
She's like older than she looks.
Huh.
She's been around.
Yeah,
Hollywood. Oh, making it worse.
it'll really do it to you. Huh. Oh, the first appearance, the episode where she shows up, that was directed by Fred Savage.
It was really,
yeah.
He's good on
it. It took you a minute. It took you a minute to get Fred Savage. Yeah, actually, she was on. She's in like Little Miss Sunshine. She was on 24.
Little Miss can't be wrong.
Yep. No. She's been around for a long time.
No, I like that movie. I liked Encino Man.
Yeah,
Blast from the Past. I liked the Jerky in the Army Now.
I remember watching Son-in-Law an awful lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, Son-in-Law, I think, was the one that I watched the most. And The Army Now bored me when I watched it as a young kid.
Can I whittle wood with you?
Oh, yeah.
From The Army Now. That's from Son-in-Law.
It's from Son-in-Law. He broke the unicorn, which I think kicked everything off when he broke the unicorn.
That, yeah. That sounds like a phase of ignition in a space launch.
We're gonna
go ahead.
Check the gauges. Pressure's good.
Gonna
break the unicorn and P minus. Yeah, right.
No. And then I was thinking about like one of those soccer announcers instead of yelling goal. I don't know. Just like screaming about some guy breaking the unicorn.
Yeah.
Like in the high jump.
Unicorn!
He broke the unicorn.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you believe in unicorns? Yeah. Yes. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know either. What do you want from me?
Some certainty. What I want is for you to pick a side, pick a lane. Unicorns, yes or no.
Okay? Pick a team.
Yeah. So tell you what.
Nope.
You don't pick a lane, you're going to be run down on both sides. Turned into road jam.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That bike's going to spread you across the asphalt like red butter, my friend.
Oh no.
What?
I think all my pre-pro's going down the drain.
Oh, did the window lock up?
Oh, Chrome was crashing.
You can restore. It'll probably fuck up your computer in the recording, but you can restore.
I don't want to. I want the goddamn computer to work.
Yeah, I know.
You think it got rained on?
Well, it did.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
My bad.
Due to your negligence.
I don't constantly remind you of your mistakes.
I mean, you kind of do.
Your presence does that for Mom.
Oh, jeez.
I didn't mean it, baby. Come back.
Oh, did you got it up? Do you got your pre-pro back?
Oh, I'm up.
Okay.
It's up.
You got a story?
I got you. Yeah,
Do you have?
I'm coming. Cole, okay. I got it.
All right.
I got it. So there's a good lady named Anna Garza. She is running for the Texas State Legislature. Her campaign's getting a little bit of attention right now. Because she's been able to raise like a shit ton of money.
Okay.
For a little Texas State Legislature seat, she's raised $87,500, and she's running against an 8-term, I guess, state representative.
That seems high.
It does, just for that small race.
Right. Like, you wouldn't think media buys would be really expensive for that market, right?
Yeah, except the 87.5, $51,000 is listed as an in-kind donation of deer sperm straws. Deer semen straws.
Yes. I have deer to say, I've been a very big fan of your work, but you have disappointed me recently on the eve of February 24th. Okay, so deer semen straws for like artificial deer insemination? Like, aren't we? Isn't that the whole reason people hunt, is to keep those things down? Why are we making more of them in a lab?
This letter is directed to semen straws. Dear yeah. Mr. Felch.
Okay. So it wasn't just the straws themselves. Were these full of deer semen?
They were full of deer semen.
Okay.
Evidently, semen down in Texas is a common way for people to donate to campaigns.
I mean, sorry.
Because money is money.
Right.
And deer sperm is free to these people who breed deers.
But I mean, if you're breeding deer professionally, the semen has to be like part of the product, right? Like that.
Yeah, but it's only one collection can get you 60 straws.
Really?
Yeah.
What are people doing with this deer cum?
It's a load to straw ratio.
Yeah. Okay. So you load up your 6 straws. So they got straws instead of vials.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Does it? You know. So if you have a the straws or containers of ejaculate are valued at $1,000 a piece. So you could get $60,000, like, evidently.
Okay.
If you have a very, very desirable buck, right? If you have a very desirable one, you could get $1,000 per straw. And think about that. Would you jerk off a deer for 60 grand?
60 grand's a lot of money.
With your mouth?
No.
Oh.
That seems like it would lead to, like, sample contamination. No, like, 60, I mean... unless you're Warren Buffett or whatever, like $60,000 would solve a couple of problems for you, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Be a lot of Little Caesars and blow.
It goes a long way.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, why would I get one Papa John's pizza when I get what I can get three hot and ready's?
So the Texas Theater Association has a political action committee too.
Okay.
And between 2006 and 2016, that political action committee has received 976,000 dollars in deer semen.
Okay, so this just has to be like a situation where they're trying to roll with the punches. Somebody's pranking them by flinging this deer semen at their front door, and they're saying, "Ha ha, tricks on you! You just gave me $10,000," and then they're turning around and going inside, and then crying because people are hucking deer cum at them.
Yeah, tricks on you seems like something you'd say if you were throwing cereal, though.
That's so dumb.
Thank you.
Why would you say something that dumb, Chris?
Why did you laugh?
Because you caught me off guard.
That was the point. I know it's dumb, but, you know, placed correctly, uh-huh. I'm kind of like Reagan.
What do you mean by kind of like Reagan?
Strategic, man.
Movie entranced a nation and then the world.
Wars and treks.
Yeah. So, I mean, seriously, though, in any of these articles, and I know this isn't a funny question, but I really just need to know, why are people... It seems like deer happen enough naturally, right? Like, maybe it's different in Texas, but, like, deer are so common
everything's different in Texas.
But like up here, deer is such a common problem, they're just overflowing into the streets.
Yeah, but see, they have so much land down there, and there's like game reserves where they, you know, landowners charge people to come and hunt, like go on hunts.
Well, why would you need a good deer for that? Because my understanding about those hunts is they just take a deer and chain it to a tree and then give a rich dude a howitzer.
Yeah. So here's the deal. If all you know about a subject is what one YouTube video that was trying to get you to disagree
no,
told you.
No, I obviously know that's not the case. I was thinking about remember when Dick Cheney he shot his friend in the face when they were out quail hunting, and then it was like, oh yeah, they just released the quail from a box. Yeah.
Remember when Cousin Vinny went hunting?
Yeah, I do.
Put his tea lips down to the water, and then bam! Fucking bullet rips his brain.
That's a good movie.
That's a good flick.
That's a very good movie. No self-respecting Southern gentleman.
Uses instant grits.
Yeah. Yep. So.
Oh boy, do you have a story? We're kind of into this.
I do. Yeah, we're kind of into. We've only done one. I'm going to take us back in time, Chris, to your friend and mine, Osama bin Laden. So he was holed up in that compound in Abbottabad, right? And
Abbottabad.
He couldn't even go outside because, you know, the like satellite pictures would get him. It was a very let's say cloistered kind of life, right? To the point where like, oh, he was on dialysis. It seemed really, really bad. They couldn't even have internet because, you know, that's how they get you, right?
Right.
But that didn't mean that he, you know, lived without entertainment. What actually happened was they would kind of go elsewhere, download the stuff from the internet, and then bring it in. So not even one of history's greatest monsters, Osama bin Laden, was immune to the charms of, say, something like the Charlie Bit My Finger video.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And, you know, just there are some quotes like from the dad who shot the Charlie Bit My Finger video. I don't know how to react. It's hard to take in. You know, when he was contacted, you never can tell who has a lighter side. It's hard to imagine he's planning terrible things one minute and then laughing with his family over this the next.
Here's the deal, Cole.
Okay.
I never really thought about this until now. There is somebody running around right now who smells like Hitler.
What do you mean? Like somebody who's like just kind of inadvertently wearing his
Hitler's signature scent. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Hugo Boss number 1488. Yeah.
I think it's Canoe.
Have you ever told the story about the canoe war on the air?
No, I'll tell it. I'll tell it some other time.
Oh, okay.
maybe in 15 minutes or something.
Okay. I'm not really.
I'll tell it today.
Okay.
But not in this episode, which is 221, by the way.
Right.
Telling myself that.
Yeah. So
telling myself 221.
Right.
But yeah, I didn't think about that until just now.
Yeah. Like,
I mean, you know, it's not like CK1 or anything, because
I mean,
that's after it.
AH.
AH, right. Way to go, Cole. Glad I got that to you. Catapulted it for my mind grapes.
Yep. But yeah, like that, like, you know, like, it's everybody wore cologne back then, you know, to try and cover up their body stank, right? Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
but there's a cologne that was packed in Martin Luther King Jr.'s bag the day he was shot,
mm-hmm.
and you can actually still go and buy that cologne.
Do you know what it is?
I don't know how to say it.
No,
Aramis.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know.
Aramis. Yeah.
Aramis.
Your guess is as good as
mine. It's got a blue orb around it.
Huh.
Aramis.
Yeah.
This is my virtual alien sex goddess. Yeah. Aramis.
Yeah. She lives in the pleasure sphere.
Right. Yeah. So these people aren't down with the fact that Bin Laden was keeping their shiz.
They're just a little bit, you know, they really don't know what to say. They don't understand why it's really notable. But yeah, this was found. It was just burned onto a DVD. And also in his collection was Tom and Jerry cartoons, feature films like Cars and Resident Evil.
Yeah, I knew that about the cars. I'd heard that.
Yeah, yeah. And also a bunch of crochet tutorials. He wanted to keep his hands busy, right?
Okay.
Yeah. And also, this is something that I found that brought this story's from a while ago, the Charlie Bit My Finger one's from last November. But one I found today was in the logs that have been released, you know, basically from the signal intelligence that was, you know, pulled back from that compound. They found out that, you know, somebody there, possibly Bin Laden himself, was playing Counter-Strike. You know,
that a war game?
Yeah, it's an old, like, 2000s. It was like a Half-Life mod, very popular, like, you're counter-terrorists versus terrorists shooting each other.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
had the green crosshairs on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, could have been any of them, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I played it a little bit. I was more of a Team Fortress guy, but I had Counter-Strike. But yeah, like, they pulled a bunch of it, and like, yep, a whole bunch of those file names are just, like, Counter-Strike maps and stuff. So it's really weird. Even monsters need entertainment.
But dude, you got to remember, he spoke English.
Yeah. No, he was educated.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. He's here.
I think.
I don't know.
He's a, cause you, the way that he is pictured to have lived, whether it was at that compound or whether it was in the hills, it doesn't match his experience, right?
Right. Like, there's the picture is that it's much more crude than it actually was. Probably, like, admittedly, for some really shitty, like, cultural.
No. I'm sure that it was as shitty as it looked.
Right.
My point is that he was worldly. I mean,
yeah.
He, despite the surroundings, he had a hunger for pop culture.
Just weird. Not trying to humanize the guy. I just thought that was a very strange story, especially to hear the dad's reaction. Cause I'm like, okay, what am I supposed to do with this information? Am I complicit? did the small amount of joy that my son's misfortune brought this evil man, like, did that power him somehow to do even more terrible things?
I don't know. I mean, yeah. It gives me some, if I was that dad, it would give me some good regard for humanity.
Right.
Because if there's people out there that exist that, you know, don't have any kind of feeling aside from doing evil and
hurting
people.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, at least there was more there.
I mean, the common example that is thrown out as like, oh, well, Hitler loved his dog. You know,
he did. He did.
And, you know, looking at those pictures of him and his dog.
What? Yeah.
But like those are cute dogs. They're really good dogs. They had no like they deserve none of that score. And I don't think they deserve to be tied up in this. Hitler, fuck him. But his dogs. But,
well, no, you leave them out of it. Only one of the dogs survived because the what's Hitler's lady?
Eva Braun.
Eva Braun. Yeah, she killed one of them.
What?
Yeah. So he kicked her in the pussy.
Oh, like Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
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 Hey, Chris, you got a story?
He didn't do that. No, I don't. Maybe I do. I don't know.
Do you want to tell the canoe story?
What do you want to? No, I don't want to tell the canoe story. I want to talk about how there's things in government that happen, and it's specifically the whole thing about sources and methods. There's this debate about whether you can release intelligence and whether it's going to divulge sources and methods, right?
We're related to those fucking memos, yeah.
Yeah, but I think larger, they've talked about a lot of different stuff that they want to release, and you know, the man in charge and those people, like they don't quite seem to get it. You know, what are these sources and methods? So I think that if you find an example elsewhere, then it may become more apparent for some people as to why that's important.
Okay.
And it comes in the form of a article that's been pulled from the British Medical Journal.
The BMJ,
The BMJ. Do you know this one?
No. I just wanted to say the initials.
You just know the acronym.
Right? I'm just a straight pipe, man.
Gotcha. Okay. Good enough. The article was about a husband and wife who became infested with hookworm larvae on a beach in Martinique.
Where is that?
It's an island. So anyway, they came down with this weird parasite that no one's ever seen before, and they developed the red pinprick marks on their asses.
Okay.
So it was weird that, you know, they make the journal, and they were guaranteed complete anonymity.
Right.
But the photos spread, and the case details that were included in the article, including the woman's age, the couple's Caribbean destination, the cruise line on which they traveled, and the Cambridge hospital they visited. One of the pair asked that the article be withdrawn over concerns about being identified by close friends and or colleagues.
Wait,
now, so how in the world would they be identified when they identified the woman's age, the couple's Caribbean destination, the cruise line on which they traveled?
Yeah.
And the hospital that treated them for butt stuff.
And also probably like the date of their travel. Yeah, yeah. No, like so triangulation, right? Like it doesn't matter. Like it's the classic Simpsons thing. You know, somebody in your class ruined it. Let's say L Simpson. No, that's too obvious. Lisa S. That's the same goddamn thing.
Right.
Yeah. Listen to a podcast a little bit earlier. It might have been like New York Times Daily or whatever, but like talking about the people who do like freelance open source analysis of North Korean propaganda in order to kind of like discern the truth by it. And like they're looking up, you know, they're looking at the pictures of the cranes, looking, you know, seeing the model number on the side, like, oh, that's a Chinese crane. It can hold something up to
a Chinese. it's a
Chinese crane. Yeah. No, just like, okay, so it could hold up to this amount of weight. So we would say based on that, it could possibly, you know, the missile that crane is holding could go, you know, this far, right? It can, you know, like the this is possibly the range, like just from a single photo with a couple of different corroborating details. Moreover, do you remember when who was the guy who set up the webcam around the time that Trump was elected? Some actor, Adrian Brody, I think.
Okay. What was he doing?
Set
with
up
the webcam.
Okay. Some actor who's like on the level of an Adrian Brody set up a, it was, what's his name from Holes from Transformers.
I don't know.
Shia LaBeouf. There we go. Shia LaBeouf.
Oh,
sorry. Yeah, people were going crazy. Basically, he set up like a webcam in New York and, you know, it was kind of like, oh, for people to go up and, you know, talk to it about like, oh, Trump's not going to win over us. We're going to resist, blah, blah, blah. And then eventually it got taken over by like trolls and white supremacists who would go there and chug milk and, you know, put like draw Pepe in the background and do racist dances and stuff like that. And so he moved it to LA and people found it again. And then eventually he like put it out in the middle of nowhere, like in some wilderness or something like that. And you know, it's in the middle of America. And then just by looking at the webcam and examining the weather pattern and listening to the audio to determine how close it was to a, how close it was to a highway, people on 4chan or whatever were able to triangulate exactly where it was. And they had, they basically had people driving around in the area, like in Tennessee, honking their horns while people were on their computer listening to see if the sound was getting louder or quieter. Then they, then they went in and, you know, vandalized it further. Then I think he moved it to Europe where it happened again, like just based on a single, you know, a single camera shot plus some sound, people were able to locate this thing in the country. Like it just, they were just able to figure out where it was based on no other information. Of course, this family, these people with their crazy hookworms or whatever would be found out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now there's an article about them.
Oh yeah,
again and again and again. Yeah, like there's the journal article, and now there's this news.
Oh yeah, it's kind of a Streisand effect, right?
Right. Like, yeah. Right. Clones. It's dogs.
I'm not gonna explain the Streisand effect if you don't want to know what the Streisand effect is.
I don't know.
Okay.
Was it the opposite of the Kevin Bacon thing?
No, Barbara Streisand didn't. Some website posted a picture of her house. She got legal about getting that thing taken down, and by filing a lawsuit and making a big stink about it, basically ensured that that image would exist forever on the internet because,
gotcha.
Yeah, because it, you know, was put into like news stories and stuff like that. So the coat of arms for Martinique. So this is in the Caribbean. It's on the West Indies. It's an overseas region of France, but the coat of arms, the shield, has four quadrants, and in each quadrant is a coiled snake.
Four snakes.
I guess those might be hookworms, actually.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Good on you, Cole.
You know,
that's a callback
to the same story.
Right.
Yeah.
Now you just got to space them out a little bit.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm demonstrating the principle, and then I'm going to start getting weird with it, you know?
Right. Yeah. Just get comfortable.
You need to settle in, you know?
Just start stretching out a little bit.
Just take it easy for a goddamn second.
No, I know you think you're ready, but...
I know you think you're ready. Yeah.
Let's just do a couple more dry runs. Bear them right up.
People with bad allergies or bad asthma... Like basically any kind of like autoimmune problem, they sometimes pay to get hookworms.
Why?
You know, they'll order you can buy them online. You know, it's illegal, but there are ways to do it. You get some infected soil and you walk around in it, or you buy a plane ticket to a place that has hookworms and you walk around in it. The idea being that things like asthma or, you know, certain kinds of asthma or different kinds of allergies. That happens because your immune system is, you know, going crazy and haywire and attacking your own body, right?
Okay.
Well, if you get hookworms, well, guess what? All of a sudden, your crazy haywire immune system, they have a common enemy. So you trade off the negative effects of hookworms, which, you know, obviously red pinpricks on your ass and, you know, things like that. For
and worse,
right? You know, probably some real gnarly digestive stuff, for relief from your asthma or whatever. It's obviously not like clinically proven, as far as I know, but totally a thing people have done, intentionally infecting themselves with parasites.
Awesome,
yeah,
good work.
Yeah, I've got a story that's pretty near and dear to us.
Okay,
it's a short one. It's very short. but it's an intersection of a couple of things we care about. So this is in Kansas City, Missouri. Mm-hmm. There's a suspect taken in for a felony charge. So of possession of firearms, I said fireworks, that'd be weird. And also possession of cocaine with intent to sell. Okay. So they got him in the cell or in the interrogation room, and they're getting ready to do good cop, bad cop on him.
And so far all he's guilty of is liking a good time. Go ahead.
Right. He's just guilty of being a badass. And speaking of badass, the interrogation ended because of his profuse and especially foul flatulence. A police interrogation of a Kansas City man charged with drug and gun offenses ended prematurely when an investigator was driven from the room by the suspect's excessive flatulence. A detective reported that when asked for his address, 24-year-old's the guy's name leaned to one side of his chair and released a loud fart before answering. He continued to be so flatulent that the detectives were forced to leave. This guy has developed a pro strategy. He has read the Prima Strategy Guide, the Brady Game Strategy Guide, the IGN Wiki Guide for how to get out of a police interrogation.
Right. Yeah. No, he's just using the zone defense.
Like from football?
Like from football, Cole.
Yeah. Tom Landry.
From the oblong one. Right. He wore that hat.
This has been Those Damn Ross Kids.
Cole, will you tell them what they can do?
Yeah, I can tell them what they can do. Yeah, it's usually me who decides when the episode ends. But I was thinking, is that the... Yeah, no, we hit time. Yeah, if you want to, you can go to Patreon. Yeah,
Patreon.com. You had a good out, too, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you want to, you can go to patreon.com/duckvtv to support the network. Facebook.com/thosedamnrosskids to like our page and do all of that stuff. And if you like watching people play video games, go to twitch.tv/duckvtv or youtube.com/duckvtv to watch my, you know, to watch my streams and their archives and stuff like that. Okay. Did I forget anything, Chris?
No, you got it.
Sorry, America.
Sorry.